Very good evening to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So today is 19th of July 2022. It's a Tuesday class. We will be having the physical class. Yes, let us compose our mind, develop the faith, sadhana, virya, then mindfully we shall commence the puja chanting. Namo Bổn Sư Thích Ca Mâu Ni Phật. Namo Bổn Sư Thích Ca Mâu Ni Phật. Namo Bổn Sư Thích Ca Mâu Ni Phật. Namo Quan Sư Bồ Tát. Namo Quan Sư Bồ Tát. Namo Quan Sư Bồ Tát. Namo A Di Đà Phật. Namo A Di Đà Phật. Namo A Di Đà Phật. Namo Ni Lợi Phật. Namo Ni Lợi Phật. Namo Ni Lợi Phật. Namo Bồ Tát Bồ Tát. Namo Bồ Tát Bồ Tát. Namo Bồ Tát Bồ Tát. Namo Di Sản Vương Bồ Tát. Namo Di Sản Vương Bồ Tát. Namo Di Sản Vương Bồ Tát. Namo Phật Bồ Tát. Namo Phật Bồ Tát. Namo Phật Bồ Tát. Arahaṃ sammasambuddho Bhagavā Buddhaṃ Bhagavantaṃ Abhivādhimi. Suvakkato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammaṃ Namassami. Suppatipanno Bhagavato Sāvaka-saṅgho Saṅkhaṃ Namāmi. Namo Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dvitiyampi Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dvitiyampi Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Mānāpipātā Veeramani Sikkhapadaṃ Samādhiyāmi. Veeramani Okay, you can be seated. Now we shall continue with the Patipa Puja. Turn to page 3 of the chanting book. We will chant the Patipa Puja onwards. Okay. Patipa Puja, offerings of light. Ganna sarappa dikkena dikkena tamadansina Tilokatipam sambuddhaṃ pujayāmi tamonuddhaṃ gandha sambara yuttena 贝那汉苏康提那不加耶不加尼扬当不加巴加那摩特曼万那坎达古诺贝当贝当格苏玛三特听不加亚米摩尼达斯悉里巴达萨罗罗嘿不揭弥不当格苏弥那尼那本尼那麦迪那彻何图摩康不帮米拉亚提亚他伊当米他哟塔塔亚提那萨巴王阿迪瓦塞图诺班提巴尼扬巴里卡皮汤阿努坎邦乌巴达亚巴提干哈图摩特曼阿迪瓦塞图诺班提巴里巴里卡瓦皮汤阿努坎邦乌巴达亚巴提干哈图摩特曼阿迪瓦塞图诺班提波迦南巴里卡皮汤阿努坎邦乌巴达亚巴提干哈图摩特曼。 Okay, now we will chant the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all this puja offering. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses all the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fortunes soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nirvana. Then the making of oral aspiration. By the power of these merits born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of sadha, virya, siddhi, samadhi, and panya be further strengthened until they become balas of powers. Then finally, sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let's pay respect to Pacha. Buddham Pujemi Dhammam Pujemi Sangham Pujemi. Okay, you can be seated. Okay, as usual, yeah. Just relax body and mind, and you are off the light, so that we can have our half an hour of awareness-based meditation. So will of the light. Always remember for support to develop this awareness-based meditation. The first support is relax completely our body and mind. Relax into every mind state that arises. Then silence the mind to maintain awareness. When you are not silent, you cannot be aware. The awareness can only arise when you are completely silent, without thought, yes, without mental chattering or verbalization or sankhara activity. When you are completely relaxed and aware, there is no movement of aggregates of mind or sankhara. It is just that clarity, the awareness, nature within, which is completely silent, tranquil and still. That is your true mind. So awareness-based meditation is to realize that silent within. That is our awareness nature within, our true mind, our meditative mind. So you can stabilize that, then you will see the big difference between the awareness nature and the mundane mind, which is the byproduct from that nature. From that nature, because we have the senses within our physical body, then we have the consciousness that is trapped inside. This awareness nature is the one that delivers the awareness or the power source. The trigger of contact between the awareness, which is also part of the consciousness, then the sense basis and the sense data that come in. So these three, when they come together, like the physics experiment, you on the switch, the light bulb lights up. The lighting up is like making you conscious. Because we have the sixth sense, you can be conscious of seeing, conscious of hearing, smell, taste, tactile, and thought process. So these six sense, they will operate within our form and mind. And upon contact, it arises very fast. And Patichasamuppada or the dwelling, they also move very fast. That's why without a stable mindfulness or awareness within, you cannot go, you cannot understand what is going on. You cannot follow that movement. Then it is very difficult for you to understand the teaching. That's why the first training is to be mindful, to be aware, then stabilize it to be ever mindful so that you can develop the ability to be heedful. To be heedful, you must be ever mindful and use that trained mind that is ever mindful to meditate, to cultivate noble eightfold path, to reflect, to contemplate, to investigate into the Dhamma, to insight into phenomena, to see things as they are. All this can only be possible when we are able to develop the awareness within, or the mind that is in sati without thought. Okay. Okay. You all can slowly modify, come out of the meditation, and the basics of the chanting book. We will do the invocation to the devas. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in the entirety, let the devas or deities come here. Let them hear the good teachings of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta Chakravalisu गच्छन्तु देवता सद्धम्मं मुनिराजस् सुनन्तु सकलमोक्षदं धम्मस्रवणकालो अयं भदन्ता ධම්මස්වනංකාලෝ අයං බදන්තා ධම්මස්වනංකාලෝ අයං බදන්තා නමෝතස් භගවතෝ අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස් නමෝතස් භගවතෝ අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්ස නමෝ අතස්ස භගවතෝ අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්ස ඉතිපේසෝ භගවෝ අරහං සම්මා සම්බුද්ධෝ විචාචන සම්පන්නෝ සුගතෝ ලෝකවිදෝ අනුතරෝ පුරිස ධම්මසාරති සත්තා දේවා මනුසාන පුතෝ භගවාති ස්වාකාතෝ භගවතා ධම්මෝ සන්දිතිකෝ අකාලිකෝ එහි පාසෙකෝ ඕපනයිකෝ පාචතං වේදිතාබෝ හනෝහිති සුපතිපන්නෝ භගවතෝ සාවක්ක සංගෝ උජුපතිපන්නෝ භගවතෝ සාවක්ක සංගෝ ඥාය පාටිපන්නෝ භගවතෝ සාවක්ක සංඝෝ සාමේචි පාටිපන්නෝ භගවතෝ සාවක්ක සංඝෝ යදිදං චතරි පුරිස යෝගානි අර්ථ පුරිස පුගවා හේස භගවතෝ සාවක සංඝෝ අහුනියෝ පාපුනියෝ දක්ඛිනියෝ අංජලි කරණියෝ අනුත්තරං පුඤ්ඤං හේතං ලෝකසති සාදු සාදු Sadhu. Okay, you all can be seated and we will continue from the sharing from this book. The wonderful Dhamma flower, Lotus Flower Sutta. We are at page 312. Right? Yeah, at the last two lines. Okay, I will read the two lines above. One thought is 10,000 aeons. 10,000 aeons is but a thought. So you understand that wisdom can allow you to understand because it is what the Paticchasamuppada dependent origination is all about. Creation and that nature. Then we continue with the sharing. When the Buddha sun, moon, lamp, brightness was speaking the Dhamma for 60 small aeons, he did not rise from his seat. He spoke the Dhamma flower sutta for 60 small aeons. Why did it take so long? It was because everyone had entered the delight in listening samadhi. Although the Buddha spoke the Dhamma, he did it from within samadhi and didn't rise for 60 small aeons. Those assembled listening also sat in one place for 60 small aeons, their body and mind unmoving. The Dharma assembly of 20 million bodhisattvas, gods, dragons, ghosts, and spirits of all the, spirits and all the arahats, bhikkhu, bhikkhuni, upasaka, upasika, and so forth, and so on, sat there listening to the Dharma for 60 small eons. For example, we are now listening to Sutta. If you pay close attention and listen single-mindedly, when the lecture is over, you will feel as if it's very short time, or as if a very short time had just passed by. If you don't pay attention, what is it like? The spelling is wrong. On the one hand, you listen to the sutta, and on the other, you strike out false thinking. So human mind that don't have mindfulness and awareness tend to behave this way. The false thinking or the heedless thinking continuously arise non-stop. Then the thought will say, oh, it's still not over yet. How much time have we got left? Take a look with you. Yeah. So all these are the movement of thought. This is like a student who said that when she sat in meditation, she did not meditate, but rather waited for the bell so she could get up and be liberated. If you do that, how can you work at your meditation? You do that, then when you see, you will feel the time drags on and your legs start to hurt and your back ache. But if you don't pay attention to the time, then there is no leg or back pain. It's no problem. Well, who hurts? Who ache? Just ask and it disappears. They sat for 60 small eons and did not move in body or in mind. Their bodies didn't wrinkle around or lean this way and that, and their mind also did not move. So this one, I think I had to explain a bit. This is what the sutta is trying to give you the impression and understanding that if you know how to meditate, you know to enter that type of samadhi that the Buddha talked about, then time like didn't really pass. But because of relativity, it's as if they have not sat there for long. The sutta had just finished. But it has taken a long time. So meditation in a way is similar. That's why you may recall, I always mention this very often, especially during retreat. Why do we go for retreat? Why do cultivators of the way go for retreat? We go for retreat is to develop the training of the mind to develop the meditative understanding and to awaken. That's why we do not go there and allow ourselves to be tormented. If you go to retreat and develop all the suffering, the misery, then that is to me not a retreat. Attending retreat, you have must attend with understanding. When you have the understanding, then you know how to develop the meditative training. You know how to really like develop the meditative awareness within. Then you can silence. Then you can really be in the meditative state. Yeah. The duration depends on our stability of understanding, training, and all those things. But you have, if you have developed the ability to be mindful, aware throughout the day, the stability of it, And your mind is always in the state of sati, stabilizing into samadhi. And you are most of the time with your true nature. You seldom give rise to thought. Such a mind already has the stability of the spiritual faculty. The mental hindrances are not there. That's why it can be in a meditative state there and then, at any time, anywhere, any place. It just relaxed, silent. Any posture is in the meditative state. Even when he is not in the form of meditation, he is also in the meditative state, in the sense that his awareness or mindfulness is very stable. The daily mindfulness is very stable. It has become a part of his nature. His movement, everything is in the state of sati. So if you have developed that, then when you are at the retreat, at the meditative way place, you will have no problem. Then whether sitting, walking, relaxing, silencing, listening to the Dhamma or whatever, your mind is different. Your mind is in the meditative state with the spiritual faculty there. Then when your body is tired, it needs rest, it will know. Then you can go and rest. Then you need to answer nature's call, it's yourself, you can. Then you need food, you can move. But all these movements are with understanding. You are mindful, you are aware, and you are always at ease, relaxed, with the daily mindfulness very stable. Everything you do, your mind is tranquil, still, aware. So you can be in those meditative states. Then meditation or retreat experience can be wonderful. Then you can insight into phenomena, you can awaken, and many things can happen, and your mind is very sensitive. You can know a lot of things that is happening within nature. All the unseen beings, the Dhamma protectors, the non-human, you can sense them. Then the nature's vibration, the great beings' vibration and others thing, their nature, they are all there. But not everybody can have that type of mind state or ability. Because most people do not really understand what meditation is. So when they go for a retreat, especially new people or people who are so conditioned by the thought-based type of training, or they call it thought-based meditative training or meditation, they will have problems. Most of them, in fact, will have problems, especially the first few days of the retreat before they settle down. They will be having a lot of pain. And of course, in between, there is some moment when their faith is very strong. There is joy. And for some of the serious ones, they will listen attentively and develop the joy. But when it comes to formal meditation, most of them actually cannot take it. Initially, maybe the first few sitting is okay to them. But if you have long sitting, especially most of the format of retreat from the Theravadan tradition, they have a lot of sitting, walking. Of course, in between they have some chanting. And they will have Dhamma sharing and meditation reporting and all those things. But in between, most of the time is long sitting. Initially, maybe they give you half an hour. Then later, 1 hour, then 1.5 hours. Then sometimes they ask you to alternate between sitting and walking. Again, 1 to 2 hours. Yeah. Then sometimes you just, after a short break, you come in, you sit again. Yeah. And most of them, especially when I attend the retreat in the holiday, I realize a lot of them, they couldn't really endure. They are not able to relax. Their mind are not able to settle down. So that mind that has a lot of mental hindrance will develop a lot of misery, if not suffering, especially after a few of this sitting, long sitting. The pain is so unbearable, they keep on changing their posture, or they try to endure the pain. Sometimes it can be very severe, until the mind, like what Shen Hua mentioned just now, when is the bell going to ring? When the bells ring for them to come out of the meditation, there is like a great relief. All of a sudden they feel relief. But in between, they are miserable, because when you are not able to relax and maintain awareness, your spiritual faculty not developed, not stable, the mental hindrance are there. The feeling, actually, because you lack the understanding to relax and maintain mindfulness or awareness, you cannot be in the meditative state or inner awareness. So most people focus, concentrate, or develop metta, good mind state, to help them overcome their pain or whatever uncomfortableness. Yeah. So tendency towards energy field, one-pointedness, absorption meditation is very, very probable. And that's what people do, because the mind cannot settle down. So they need to focus, they need to concentrate. That's why they have object of meditation, they got method, technique, and various types of skillful means to continuously, repetitively numb the mind or dull the mind. The word should be dull. Then after that, they go into a type of samatha, type of concentration, so that they can forget about their pain, their uncomfortableness. Then they can sit for quite long. But that one is separate. If you want to experience that type of calmness, that type of peacefulness, the chanting experience, you can. But the real meditation is samadhi. Samadhi is not the samatha type of concentration, apana samadhi. No. It is actually at the upachara samadhi state before you enter apana. When you enter apana, the mind becomes too strongly absorbed or focused and concentrated. Then the mental hindrances are all suppressed. If you develop that type of training, then you will never understand how the mental hindrance hinders your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness. But these are the energy field, I call it the condition state, that will create the strong samatha calmness to actually suppress all the mental hindrance. Then when these mental hindrances are being suppressed, sometimes the meditator in that state may think that they are enlightened. We are really like no thought. Then they are very calm, very tranquil, very still. Sometimes their mind just blank off like nothing for hours. Yeah. Then they come back. Then they believe the experience is something that is very special, very unique. Then they equate that as some form of achievement or progress. Yeah. And of course, the mundane mind can tell a lot of story. Yeah. So if you don't have proper understanding of what this meditation is taught by the Buddha, or you don't have a proper teacher who know to guide you on what this Buddhist teaching is all about. Yes, the Buddhist teaching, mainly the Buddhist teaching, is to train our mind to develop mindfulness, stabilizing it to lead on to the meditative training, which is heedfulness, appamattha. When you are heedful throughout the day, then you can insight into phenomena, you can awaken, you can understand all this movement, the paticca-samuppada, the dependent originating activity that manifests within all phenomena, their universal characteristics, everything. Then when you awaken to them, or you're able to, within that silent awareness, witness the movement and understand them, then you develop wisdom or awakening that enable you to straighten your view so that you no longer have this wrong view or security to cling, to grasp, to hold. Then you will not get yourself entangled and you will not be deceived by the phenomenal world of consciousness, by whatever that arises within the phenomenal world, within the conditioned world. What is real, what is unreal, what is within the conditioned world and the unconditioned, you will understand, you will know. Then you also understand who are you, what are you, and what is this forming mind all about? Why the Buddha teach this way? Why the Buddha say the five aggregates of form and mind, they have the universal characteristics. They are impermanent. You grasp, cling, and wanting your way, suffering will be the characteristic. And because they are impermanent, it's not a permanent, unchanging entity. That's why it is anatta or non-self, or not a permanent, unchanging entity. And if it's not a permanent, unchanging entity, like this form and mind, how can we cling onto it, grasp onto it deludedly and say, this is me, this is I, therefore all this can be mine. There is no such thing. That's why when you understand the universal characteristics of impermanent, the other two universal characteristics of suffering and the anatta nature will be understood automatically. It is a natural consequence. Well, when you silence your mind through stability of mindfulness and awareness, when you insight the phenomena awake, then the universal characteristic become very clear. Then from anicca, impermanent, it will lead you to understand what suffering is. When your mind deludedly grasps and clings, that's why the Buddha, under the final summary of the First Noble Truth, say, in short, the final summary, it is due to the individual being's sakayati or self-delusion that condition them to grasp and cling onto this five aggregates of form and mind, thinking that it's real, thinking that is what they are. That's why the grasping aggregate, upadana khandas, is dukkha. So meditation is to see all this, awaken, and develop the wisdom. And this wisdom is the one that frees you. Not all the energy free, not all the calmness, the special meditative state. Of course, the byproduct of meditation has this thing. But there are certain type of byproduct you should not touch, like energy field. It's also very interesting, full of excitement and all those things. You also can enter absorption, deep samatha experience, the jhana experience and all those things. The very strong type of concentration. Of course, they have the four form jhanas. Then they have the four higher level of formless jhanas. Yeah. But all these are the conditioned state that the mind can go through, and the mundane mind can be trapped inside them because the mental hindrances are suppressed, cannot be rooted out. It can only be rooted out through wisdom, through understanding, through cultivating the opposite spiritual faculties. Saddha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya. That's why we make aspiration to develop it and to stabilize it until it's unshakable. So all these are in the teachings. So when we understand the teaching, we are not gullible. We will not get into all this, what we call entanglement. Then without delusion, meditation can be wonderful, amazing, meaningful, beautiful. You not only cultivate, develop the understanding, awakening. You develop that type of learning, which is very, very extraordinary and amazing. That's why when you realize true emptiness, existence become wonderful. So there is a famous saying in the wonderful Dhamma Lotus Flower Sutta. Zhen Kong Miao Yu. Within true emptiness is wonderful existence. But the conditioned world has its own reality. Similarly, the unconditioned, when you meditate and awaken, it also has its own side of the reality. But you have to understand both sides, awaken to both sides. Then only you can complement each other and use it to live life with understanding. Your life can only be complete when you have both the understanding developed. So this is the part. Hopefully you all can understand. When we go for a retreat, always remember, you do not go there to torture yourself and make yourself miserable. Why must you force yourself to sit without understanding, to conform to instruction, to conform to what people tell you? You're supposed to investigate into everything, develop the understanding. Then when the understanding is there, you just do, cultivate. No need to worry, no need to doubt, no need to check here and there. What is there to check? Because when you already have the understanding, you only need to persevere. Sincerely, with the faith, persevere. Continue to cultivate. And as you cultivate, the progress will be there. It's a natural consequence because nature's law is like that. When you are sincere, when you have the faith, when you persevere with the right understanding, you will finally realize the awakening, the enlightenment, the perfection, everything. So all this that people create through the thought process, the mundane mind, is the one that create mental hindrance, because they want to know. They want to know whether they have done it correctly or not, whether they have progressed or not. So the inquiry is, who wants to know? Who wants to develop the progress? It's always the thought. When thought is active, the question is, how can you be mindful and aware? How can you be in the meditative state? That's why all of the doubt comes from thought. And when there is thought, there is restlessness of mind. Then when there is thought, there is heedless thinking most of the time, unless your spiritual faculties are there. So sakkadiddhi, self-delusion, and ignorance are the main culprit. That's why Paticca Samuppada always start with the first link, avijja, paccaya sankhara. Dependent on ignorance, especially sakkadiddhi, you create sankhara activity, mental activity, thinking, planning, scheming, mental states. You stir your mind. You react to sense experience. You create mental hindrance without understanding, without knowing that these are mental hindrance. How the unreasoned mental hindrance come to be, you also don't know. You don't even know it is a mental hindrance that is the worst. Then how it can cease, you also don't know. Then how in the future it can never arise again. All this only the wise one, the cultivator of the way who have developed the understanding can see it. As per the Satipatthana Sutta, the four foundation of mindfulness. Then when you have those ability, the understanding, the whole cultivation becomes so different. That time you cultivate with understanding. That's why most of the time the spiritual faculties are there. The mental hindrance is gone. Then when you have the spiritual faculty, they are mental faculty that can allow you to understand spiritual teachings, develop the wisdom, the awakening, the understanding. And this is the one that enable you to awaken, straighten your view, and become at peace with all things, at all time, at all places. No matter what happened to the world, no matter who you meet, people are just the way they are. The world is the world. Condition like that, things will. All this understanding will manifest. Then the sixth sense door become very clear because you are mindful, you are aware. Every moment of sense door consciousness, there is awareness within. Then the movement, the teachers, the dwelling, you see them, you awaken to them. Then from there, delusion starts to collapse, breaks out. You start to root it out. Then all this creation by the mundane mind, the phenomenal world, fails to have power over you because of their wisdom, their understanding. And that's how the living being can awaken, can transform. So this is roughly what the summary of cultivation is all about. So when you have this understanding, when you go for a retreat or any of this training, you become different. You're no longer gullible. You no longer go there and torture yourself unnecessarily. Why must you do that? When you understand, you just relax and maintain awareness. Going for a walk, a very relaxed, calm, and mindful walk is so much more soothing and better than sitting there torturing yourself miserable because you dare not move and you are not comfortable, you are not relaxed, you are not in the state of awareness. When sati is there, your mind becomes very different. Then you are in that relaxed state. When you are relaxed and you have sati, the mind becomes like very, very beautiful. Then you realize all of the so-called emotion, the pain, are gone. There is only pity, tranquility, stillness, awareness within. The mind is so quiet, so still. You hardly consume any thought energy. And that is what awareness-based meditation is all about. Okay, so we go back to the sharing. Oh, so fast, 19:24 already. Okay, listening to what the Buddha said. Is it here? Okay. Okay. They listened to the Buddha, Sun, Moon, Lamp, Brightness, speaking the Dhamma as if it were the time it takes to eat a bowl of rice. See? Like very short time. As if it were but the space of a meal. At that time in the assembly, there was not a single person who grew weary either physically or mentally. That is a sutta. Then the commentaries. In the Dhamma assembly, there wasn't a single person who got tired or wanted to rest or take a nap. Nobody wants to rest or sleep. If you were one who truly listened to sutta, you wouldn't feel it. as if it was tiresome to sit there. You should sit there, and the more you listen, the more delighted you will become. So when you have that wisdom and the understanding to follow the Dhamma sharing, your mind becomes like that. There is so much joy, and you will listen attentively, and the energy is always there. It will build up by itself. That's why when we cultivate correctly, that nature becomes very different. That nature supports you all the way. That nature's energy becomes stronger and stronger as the Dhamma manifests. Because that movement, that nature's internal movement and energy, will trigger all this possibility. So what is being described here is very true. Even at a retreat, you all can also develop the understanding and the experience. Like that day, surprisingly, when I went to Singapore, the Dhamma talk was actually supposed to start at 11:30. We have our dana. Then I think after 45 minutes or 1 hour, 12:30 we're supposed to start. Then we're supposed to end at about 2 or 2:30. But it dragged on to 5:30, almost 6 o'clock. And everybody was so attentive, and they are new people, lay people, most of them living Singapore, because they have faith in the sense that they heard about me, but they haven't really met me speak in person. They hear me through the YouTube, and of course through what the DK and some other people who are familiar with what I am teaching and sharing. They actually shared with them, and they were really full of faith. That's why when I was there, my nature rejoiced, and I was very surprised. A lot of them can sit there and listen attentively for so many hours. Even the brother, TK sister, or sister, brother-in-law, the children. I think they are 20 plus to 30 years old or 30 plus years old. They sit down and just listen. So when you have the interest, when you have the faith, that thing is possible. And basically over the years of cultivation, especially the early years, when I met teachers who has the understanding and the Dhamma, I can just sit there and listen. Even when I was in Thailand, when I joined them for their annual Katina and all those things, we wake up 3:30, then 3:45 a.m. in the morning, the chanting start, the Dhamma sharing start. So then all the way until at night, almost midnight. Then throughout the day, it's just daily mindfulness cultivation, of course, in between a lot of chanting, Dhamma sharing. Then we have our meals. We are they all eat, I think, once a day. They had their something like brunch like that at about, I think, 10 or 10 a.m. or 10:30 a.m. Then at night, for those who are not on 8%, the lay people, they may have something to eat if the kitchen has. If not, they can only eat non-solid food, as per the precepts. So all this, you can actually witness them and see them. And for those few days, 9 days, or usually it's 9 to 10 days, or sometimes 14 days, there is so much energy and joy. And when you are there, you are not tired, you are not sleepy. Because of the faith, the understanding. So during the early years of my cultivation, when I went for spiritual trip and I attend all this spiritual activity. The mind was different. Yeah. That's why when Xuanhua under this wonderful Miaofa Lianhua Qing, the sharing, I can relate to it in that sense, because the mind really different. And sometimes after you have gone through the whole 4, 5 hours, 5, 6 hours session, it's as if like so fast the day passed by. Then even in the early years when I was break pill, they're helping the recording, do up the Dhamma recording. The Dhamma talk like very fast and throughout that 1.5 to 2 hour session, attentively just listen, recording, developing the choice and the thing. Then we get to do the meritorious, almost all the time meritorious deed every time we go for this spiritual activity. Yeah. That's why I was able to have all this understanding. Then I share it during my sharing with parameters, with all those who are keen to develop the understanding to progress along the path of them. Okay, we better continue. Another 9 minutes. If you were one who truly listened to sutta, you wouldn't feel it as tiresome. Well, this one we have gone through. The Dhamma is really wonderful. Inconceivably wonderful. You have a feeling. If you don't truly listen, you sit there and your legs start to wiggle and your hand jerk around. And even though there is no wind, it's like, it looks like you are being blown back and forth. Leaning all over the places means you become uneasy. You cannot sit there with the attentiveness, the mindfulness, the awareness to attentively listen to them. Or perhaps you get out and pace the floor, or you just look to the east, look to the west. This is because your heart is not truly in it. You aren't truly listening to the sutta. You aren't tasting their true flavor. If you taste the true flavor of the Dhamma or the sutta, they will tell you there would be nothing more important that it could interfere with your attendance at the lecture or the sutra session. You will certainly come to listen. Every day I miss a lecture, I will not eat, you will say. If I miss lecture for 2 days in a row, for 2 days I won't eat. Oh, this one is serious. If you push yourself on that, you wouldn't dare not come to the lecture to listen. So to yourself, say to yourself, if you don't go listen, you won't get anything to eat. That's wonderful dumb. Try out if you dare. So you don't want to listen to Dhamma or Sutra? Alright, no food today. If you go hungry for a day, then next week you will think, I'm going to listen. To go and listen to the Sutra lecture. Otherwise, I go hungry. Besides not eating, it's really just not receiving the food of Dhamma. In listening to the Sutra, one receives the nourishment of Dhamma. Then as per the Avijja Sutta, you remember? The first, the sequence, enlightenment sequence, the first nutriment that you need is to have Dhamma friends. Dhamma friends are very important. Dhamma friends got two types. One is just Dhamma friend who walk the path of Dhamma to cultivate. The other one is, he not only walked the path of Dhamma, he has realized the truth, the enlightenment. Means Dhamma friends that has the Dhamma. And that one is a noble Dhamma friend. You can have one of those, you will progress, you will be blessed. So once you have that first condition, having Dharma friends, then the second nutriment can arise. You will have opportunity to listen to the true Dhamma. Yeah. That is step two of the Avijja Sutta leading to enlightenment in the here and now. So when you're constantly listening to the Dhamma or the Sutta, it's as per what Master Shen has mentioned. That one can generate a lot of understanding, a lot of faith. That's why the third step is faith in the Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha, triple gem, become unshakable. That is that tree. And from there, you will continue to progress. So all the various steps for Kayamita, we at least, the first three, I think everybody should have by now. The only thing is step four and five, there are some who are still not able to stabilize their mindfulness, the daily mindfulness. You have to do it more and more. So constantly listening to the Dhamma is the step two. Then after that, you develop the faith. Once you have the faith, you must go all out to cultivate the sati, the mindfulness. That's why virya will drive you to cultivate and sati will stabilize. When your sati stabilize, you will start to see things as they are. You will start to develop the contemplative wisdom, the second turning wisdom. The contemplative wisdom will allow you to have some initial wisdom. We call that uniso, manasika. Then at the moment of sense experience, this initial wisdom will guide you, prevent you from developing the heedless thinking, the wrong thought. Then after that, when you stabilize your mindfulness, because without the initial wisdom, very difficult to stabilize your daily mindfulness. You have to have some form of uniso, manasika. Then only you can develop the sati sampajana, means the mindfulness and clear comprehension, means mindfulness of the four posture, mindfulness of every action, every movement in the present moment with clear comprehension, means the kaya nupasana. After stabilizing the sati through apanasati, you develop mindfulness of four posture, stabilize it. Then mindfulness of every action, every movement, including answering nature's call throughout the day, the daily mindfulness. Yeah. So once you can stabilize that, you already reach step five. Then enlightenment in the here and now is very easy. Very easy. When your mindfulness is very stable, your initial wisdom already developed, then you can become a sotapan, leading to Sakadagami, first and second stage of sainthood. You have to be a sotapan is your mindfulness must be very stable until you cannot break your precept. When you cannot break your precept, means you have sense restraint, which is step six. You are at least a sotapan, otherwise you cannot reach that state. Then after step six, you continue to cultivate the four right effort to stabilize your ability to arise the right thought, right speech, right action, to live your life following the Noble Eightfold Path, the Noble Path factors of Noble Eightfold Path. Then you will reach step seven. You will be able to arise the three type of right conduct, which is basically right thought, right speech, right action. By then, you are at least a Sakadagami. Yeah. And after that, step eight is cultivate the four foundation of mindfulness. That's how Satipatthana come in. Yeah. So hopefully with that, you will have the faith. Okay, we go back to the sutta sharing. I think we have to end there already. Okay, good. We will end here where it's exactly where the sutta ends. We are at page 314. So we are now continuing our second session, which is meditation reporting, followed by whatever question you may have, or sharing about Dhamma in daily life.
Good evening, Brad Teal. This is Teal and all Kalapitas. My voice is a bit out. Still recovering from my flu.
Not COVID.
No lah. If I can recover so fast,
it shouldn't be. Yeah, take more the kucha, the herbs.
No, I take a lot of vitamin C and
vitamin
other
C,
stuff.
Yeah. Correct,
very high dosage of vitamin C.
Oh, yeah. That one will help, yeah.
Yeah. It's been about 10 days, so on the last stage.
That's quite long, yeah. Good. Miss recovery already.
Recovery, yeah. Last Sunday, maybe I talk a bit about last Sunday's.
Yeah, that one more interesting.
slightly different from Bratio's usual sharing.
Correct.
Because I think that you are placing a lot of emphasis on the way we do our cultivation.
Yes.
And a lot of us, when we myself included, when we have done our cultivation for a period of time, especially a few years, we have an expectation of how we progress. And when we don't see much progress, automatically we say either we are a bit, we cannot absorb things or conditions are against us or whatever. But like Bratio mentioned that a lot of times it's also our karma.
The karmic one. Hello? We didn't get your voice. PG, can you?
No.
You repeat just now, I can't hear you.
Myself included. Okay.
Now can hear you.
Because I'm in the room, so I'm in the bedroom, it's a bit difficult to connect the internet. Like I said, our karmic past has a lot to do with how we receive our Dharma understanding, like Bratio explained.
Yeah.
So when I heard this, I telling myself, how much you have been blocking, doing a lot of nonsense. That's why, despite sitting there listening to Bratio year after year, it just cannot go in and.
Initially, it's like something blocked, cannot go in. Like you mentioned in the past, when you hear karma, you don't want to listen when you just walk over here. All these are also conditioning from your past. But later on, because of your good affinity with the Triple Gem, then the conditions start to manifest. Then even though karma was mentioned, but you continue to attend the class. That's why you have a lot of gratitude towards Chupolian, who brought you to my class. Then you came to know yourself. How come you can continue to come until it took, although many years, like you say? But finally, when you have the understanding connected, open up, initially, even the initial phase, you were full of joy, and you see the foolishness of how your behavior was before you know the Dhamma. Then you start to change for the better through the understanding. You start to straighten your view, you start to develop understanding. Then your faith suddenly become very strong. Then your cultivation become different again after that. Then through all this transformation over the years, little by little, gradually, you suddenly realize a lot of the sharing that I give, you can follow. You can follow with such joy and understanding that like give you a lot of very strong faith. Because before that understanding come, the faith cannot develop. Because it's just like listening to another Dhamma. But this one, those who are in the, I should say, those who have the affinity and are in the condition that allow them to have the understanding, they become very different. Their faith become very different. Then they actually make aspiration, make vow, then they go all out and develop the cultivation and the understanding. And I saw a lot of Gayamita over the last few years moving into that direction. Yeah. And these are very beautiful conditions that my nature rejoiced when I saw them manifesting. Yeah. And in fact, a lot of Gayamita, if you look around, their understanding has changed a lot in whatever little way or in whatever way they have benefited. Their understanding seems to have unfolded to whatever extent according to their past and their this life, diligence and cultivation. And most of them, I realize, they share with me and they report during the sharing, especially Thursday class. The teaching like now, so much clearer, so much easier to absorb. Not like last time. Last time the resistance was there. So we have a lot of things like they cannot accept one. Now you continue, Fiji.
You hold on, let me take a drink.
Can.
Yeah, brother. Somehow, listening to the Dharma nowadays bring a lot of joy. Probably because now I can understand.
Right.
Those days is even when I sit through the class and driving back, I start, you know, when Elsie asked me this discussion, I go like, I cannot remember already lah. just out of the class and then I cannot recall what's the class about.
Yeah.
So it's so much different,
Brother. Yeah,
so,
a lot of different. Especially the last few years. I realize a lot of Kalimita developed great transformation, shift, and understanding.
When we discuss about this, the Dharma itself, we somehow we can see the beauty of the that sentence or particular thing itself.
Correct,
and
correct.
Especially when we now have the better understanding of the, what we call that, the Bodhisattva vows.
That one helped a lot.
Your sutra somehow will tie back to the Bodhisattva vows.
And that's
how we to me, it has a lot of meaning.
Correct.
Yeah.
That's how it manifests. When you start taking the vow, the merits that come with it, even the first Bohi mind development, planting the seed of Bohi, that itself is really meritorious. If you can remember the Bodhisattva text, that transcript that we did, I mentioned it inside there because it was stated in the small book that Master Shenyan Fa Shi or Fa Gu San, he in his booklet, The Bodhisattva Way, although it's only mentioned, but no explanation, but the moment I read it, I knew and I rejoiced my nature, because to have the condition and the faith to sincerely go for and take the vow, especially to plant the seed of Bohi, the first Bohi mind development that leads to the firm decision to take the Bodhisattva vow. And the format that I teach you all is very unique and very beautiful and very comprehensive. That's why that one will give you a lot of merits. It mentioned that limitless merits. And people don't understand why it's like that, because that seed of Bohi is planted deep into our nature based on the faith and the understanding. That one is very different. And that one keep on manifesting on not only this life, this particular condition that allow you to do this. Because once it's planted, whenever you arise, the form of mind, that Bohi mind will actually has its condition and affinity, and it will nurture. It will nurture. It will start to nurture. Then it will start to manifest. Especially all those right view, right understanding that I have taught you, and all the things that you're supposed to do to break the coming of time. So all these are very vital and important understanding that you as a cultivator going along this path, the Bodhisattva way, must have to clear all this obstruction, then to have all this right view, so that life after life, whenever you choose to come or you have to come, the understanding is there or not. Then you make affinity with the great beings, seek their whatever blessing, protection, and guidance. Then you develop all the miscellaneous vow. Then you diligently cultivate the daily religious routine, the daily mindfulness, the heedfulness, the two aspects of the five aggregates of form and mind, the right view with regards to the universal characteristics of the five aggregates, rupang, anicca. All this, you recite them every day when you renew your vow until it becomes a part of you. Then this understanding will manifest even nature whenever you arise. That's why the Bodhisattva vow is very powerful. And you also know after you take that vow, not only you, many Kayamita told me after they start seriously taking the Bodhisattva vow, they realize their cultivation becomes different. The understanding become different. After that, a lot of things happen. No. Even a lot of Kayamita, like Alicia, they all, many of them, you go and check with them. That vow is actually very, very beautiful, very unique, and very, very wonderful. That's why you must have the faith, the sincerity, and strongly develop the vow, that formation. Until it goes deep into your nature, then this one will be there one more. It will continue to nurture one. Whenever you come, this one will manifest. Then it will move. Then on your own, it will move one more. Then because you have already decided during this life when you understand to ask for forgiveness from the triple gem, from all beings, and all coming obstruction that are not included up there. So all this will clear the coming obstruction for future coming. And this one is very important. Once you clear that, the Dhamma can be like cultivated or developed without all this coming obstruction. Then you don't have to like this life, in between, get lost, get confused, then a lot of like entanglement, you cannot go in. Even the true teaching is been delivered until much later. So you don't have to go through all those things. Then in future when you come, the moment you hear truth, especially the Four Noble Truths, the essence of the Buddha's teaching, the mind immediately connect with joy and listen attentively. You know, then you will know what is the true Dhamma, what is not the true Dhamma. Like my nature, it come. Even though I English educated, my nature cannot go and reject the Mahayana teaching or that. Cannot. No way. Because these teaching to me are like very beautiful, very authentic. And like my nature had already developed the understanding before. Then the Theravada teaching also, I cannot get confused or not by the commentator and what people do, the method technique. I cannot get confused. Why? Because of this vow. Because of this understanding. That's why when the time comes, the mind naturally search. I don't have to wait till I got trouble or I search on all this time. When I was in Form 4, I think, at the end of Form 4, 1971, about Form 5, and then my mind started to probe me. I look at the sky up there, the universe. Then because I know science, I know geography, then I was inquiring. Who am I? What am I doing now in this miserable planet? One of the many of this planet within the solar system. And every sun is a potential like Every star is a potential sun, some bigger, some small. And each and every of these, they have their own solar system. Then we are only one of the third planet, one of the 6 over billion at that time, now maybe 7 to 8 billion population. We are so insignificant. Then who are we? What are we? That's why I questioned myself. And I couldn't understand at that time because I was using the rational thinking mind, mundane mind. And suddenly deep inside my heart, the nature there popped up the answer. You must meditate to understand. I straight away knew that was the answer, but I don't know what is meditation at that time. Oh, very funny. Until the next year, lower six, where one of my classmates, the sister, gave me the book. The first edition of What Buddhists Believe, the late Chief Reverend wrote. The moment I saw the Four Noble Truths and the Chinese tradition, rites and ritual, I straight away developed the joy and I knew this is it, no need to search anymore. How can I recognize all this? And I straight away knew it's a secret of life. Everything that I need to know is in the Four Noble Truths. Nobody taught me at that time. How can I understand all this? It's because of the vow, the path. Then after that, I start to move along that direction because of the affinity, the condition. Then the bohi mind starts to manifest and it becomes very strong. Then it will know how to move. It will, that's why after that, I clear my form six. I came to MU. The first day I met that monk and everything followed after that. A lot of things like naturally evolve. Because of that nature, the past, the vow, the aspiration, everything, all already like more or less pre-planned already. Two is understanding. Okay, PG, you continue. Yeah,
yeah, Bertil. Regarding the Bodhisattva vows, I've been chanting for over a year now, every day. Especially, I feel that every time I make the first aspiration by the power of whatever wholesomeness, merits, and blessings that this nature had cultivated made arise the causes and conditions for this nature to have the right views and right understanding.
That was very important.
When I chant this, I have so much deep gratitude to gratitude for all the higher beings. When we have this type of understanding, this vow itself is so important. And like we see the deep meaning of it.
It will prevent you from debating.
So much gratitude, that I have this opportunity to to receive. And cultivate and understand the true Dharma. So much gratitude, a lot of times when we don't have sufficient understanding, I feel that a lot of us take the Dharma as just we learn we will better our life. Somehow when there is understanding itself, it makes so much difference that why are we here on this earth. It's not just another life.
It's not just another life.
It's something more meaningful than that. Is just a step in our cultivation. And every step makes a difference now and of course for the future. That's why all of us have so much gratitude to you, Bertil, be able to impart this type of understanding.
Because my nature knew what this is. That's why I have to share this with you all. I used to tell you all, you can recall, it's not only this life, it involves our entire existence. Do you know the meaning of that? Entire existence means every segmented life that we supposed to continue to arise, each and every one of that we have taken care when we develop the correct understanding and the bodhisattva, means every time we come, the form and mind that follow from this day when we take our vow is going to have this right view, this right understanding, and that understanding to cultivate accordingly. Means all of your future, all of your existence coming, already taken care of. That is the beauty of that vow. And that is the one that my nature succeeded in doing. That's why you want to share this. But that time, at that time, I don't think many people got the meaning of what I try to share with you. So today, you created the condition. You were right, not only this life. It's life after life. Our entire existence, I use the word entire existence, means not only the past until now. From now onward, one is the most beautiful one. Because after this bodhisattva vow, after you make the aspiration by invoking power of merits, like you said, whatever power of merits and blessing that we have cultivated, our nature has cultivated from the distant past until now, may it arise the causes and effects. To life after life, whenever we choose to come, we have to come to have this right view and right understanding. Then we recite them, the two aspects of the five of form and mind, the universal characteristic, that's why we chant them, we recite them. And this is very, very important, very powerful, very potent, because that is the one that assure you that all of your future are taken care of. Your entire existence, every segmented life that you come, all taken care of. What kind of teaching can give you that understanding? Only this vow. That's why Maitreya knew this one is the second aspect, the unique one that he want me to pass down. First one is the essential Dhamma. The Buddha's teaching, the true Dhamma, the true understanding and interpretation of the teaching. Then after that is this bodhisattva vow that guarantee the complete future understanding. Means your entire existence all taken care of. Sadhu, for creating the condition for this to arise again. So now everybody who will listen to this will have the understanding and the faith will be very strong. Okay, Pichi, you can continue.
Yeah, Brother. Another vow that I would like to discuss would be the one that what do you call that? Where we chant that we, how to say, regarding the delusion and heedlessness.
Yeah, exactly.
When I chant about this, when I make these vows, it's like it makes me see that how heedless I am.
Yeah.
And of course, when I am aware of especially my thoughts and my actions, somehow I am able to remind myself that I'm walking this path.
Yeah.
So that I have to be more aware and mindful not to repeat this heedlessness,
yeah, heedlessness of activity again. Yeah, true. You can continue, PJ.
Yeah, but you. For me, for my cultivation training, I set these few things for myself, Virgil, to deepen my Dhamma understanding, to I wouldn't say read the sutras, Fabratio, because my understanding of the sutras are still not sufficiently clear. And that's why I rely more on Bradfield's talks to deepen my understanding. And yeah. I find that a lot of times without the Chinese, the Mandarin understanding, when you all discuss and you all were saying that, it's so meaningful, then I go like,
limit you a bit.
Bradfield can explain.
That's why for your sake, I always explain. For those who may not understand Mandarin. You see, Mandarin is a very beautiful language for Dhamma, especially the Mahayana teaching. Because Mandarin words, you take one word from each of the pair of words, then you combine the two. The meanings stand out so beautifully. That is the beauty of Mandarin. That's why every time I hear that one, then when I read the English translation, I realize the English translation doesn't carry that type of that type of potency of manifesting the deep meaning inside. Like even the simple sharing in true emptiness, when you realize true emptiness, there is wonderful existence. But the English word, not that strong one, in true emptiness. So quite low who cannot understand, what is this in true emptiness? Empty, true emptiness. Life is wonderful, wonderful existence. But the Mandarin one, zhen kong, the meaning is very different, or no? That true emptiness, the English and the Mandarin is so different. No? Then miao yu, this is wonderful. That existent English word, it cannot compare to the Mandarin word yu. No? It explains way beyond existence. No? Everything about life and existence is within that you. That's why zhen kou miao yu. So all of creation is all there. So then sometimes the two words, the Mandarin word, when you pair, take one from each, it come out so beautifully. Even like we say, lai ye kong, qi ye kong, na ma si zu he bi ku ku, wei kong liu lin. The Mandarin one, the meaning stand out. But when we talk in English, yes, maybe English is not meant for Dhamma. You come empty, you go empty. Then in between, why do you grieve over empty? Like no impact at all. But the Mandarin, I tell you, is so different. Although I'm English educator, when I was in the primary school, I like to follow the Wuxia Xiaosuo. So there was one of these swordsmanship type of show where the monk up there recite this. Then she was trapped underneath by the three Shaolin monks. He has been hearing the chanting until he understand. He said, Lai ye kong, qi ye kong. Means the deep meaning is you come, that's why I have to explain it. You come or you are born into this world empty. You don't bring along anything. Then when you die, when you pass away, when consciousness is to be, they call it death. What happened? You also cannot bring along anything. That's why the coming is empty. The going or the parting is also empty. Then in between, why do you grieve, carry all this suffering, all this sorrow and grief over what? Over nothing. Because you come empty, you go empty. You cannot take along anything. So all of your craving, desire, got no meaning. then you suffer for nothing. You grieve over emptiness. The meaning is so deep. But the English, you have to explain it with a lot of words and to bring out the meaning. Yeah. So don't worry. Huh? This life you may not have, but in future, you will determine to know some form of Mandarin. That's why now you look at the world, a lot of foreigner, quite low, learn Mandarin now. Because they learn not because of spiritual, they learn because they want to understand Chinese culture, Chinese history, and also do business with China. Then they want to have that type of advantage over people who don't know Mandarin. So the benefits of knowing Mandarin is definitely there, but very strange. Well, this life, I was the only one in the family sent to English school, my whole family. The rest all go Chinese school. Well, my father advocated Mandarin, but nobody can read English letter at that time. So he sent me to the best English school. It's meant to be, because my this life coming is to help the English educated and learning the Dhamma. Yeah. Especially the Theravada tradition, mainly in English. So that aspect of the teaching, very few people can understand and deliver that type of true teaching. That's why it's meant to be. I had to go to English school. Then although I have no proper training in Mandarin from a Mandarin school, but I like Mandarin because my brother and sister, they always come back and read their textbook aloud. So I, through listening, I can speak, I can understand, then I can communicate, but I cannot write. Only later when my father teach me how to write my name, and I try to look at the words, and I try to remember some of the words. But my vocabulary are very limited, but I can more or less communicate the normal, very basic type. That's why I very funny on this line. I tell myself I must marry a wife who knows Mandarin. And also must be a teacher, teach only half day, so that I can look after the kids. Very strange. Then the third one, most difficult to fulfill. The family must have a lot of problems. I want to at least save one family. And my wife fulfilled all the three. Yeah. That's what I meant to be. From so far also can meet. That's why my nature knew. I said, wow, I used to joke with her. I said, the cable must be very big. Otherwise, how can all these things happen? Then I used to jokingly tell her. When she get to know me, when we about to get married, I don't have anything now. I don't even have a house. Not to say a house. I was renting room only. And I got a motorbike, belong to my brother one. I don't have anything. So in Cantonese, they say, you're not scared, you sleep along the roadside. Can't find kaya. So all these are like meant to be. That's why you're all in the place. So don't worry, PJ. The Mandarin will come next life and in future life. You will become very good in Mandarin.
You will. Must be that I have something against the the language itself.
Last time, it's just like the law of karma. You must have developed some type of view that is very heavy on. That's why this line, you actually got that obstruction that prevent you from listening. When people talk about karma, you don't have to listen. But your affinity with the triple gem and my nature very strong must be. Otherwise you can't, because I also talk about karma, but you didn't run away. You continue to stay. Like you say, you also don't understand why you continue to stay. It's because in the past, like this line, this asana, you have some affinity with Kanyamita, with my nature, and with some of the great things. Otherwise you cannot have this affinity to come into contact with this type of teaching and have the causes and conditions to continue to stay on to develop such understanding. That's why all this when it manifests, the individual will know everyone is different. If you don't have causes and conditions and affinity, nothing happens. Really, nothing happens. Yeah.
Yeah, I totally agree, Brother Teo.
Yeah.
Regarding causes and conditions.
Yeah.
Because I find that it's because of causes and conditions that bring me to the Dharma.
Yeah.
On my own, I would never go and search the Dharma, Brother Teo.
Yeah, correct.
I know myself well enough. I will not go and search. But it comes to me, and strangely, I can accept it.
Yeah, you can embrace and accept it. It's because in the past you have such affinity, and like this life, when you have the understanding already, your vow is very strong. Your determination, aditan, is very strong. That's why your nature opened our one. And it's because of this in the past, like what is happening this life, that enable you to actually break even the very severe karmic obstruction. When you meet the real one, that your vow or those things is supposed to connect you back, then all the obstruction actually cannot affect you because of your strong faith and your intensity of your vow, which are very strong. Like you mentioned, when you hear nowadays this type of Dhamma, your heart there, your nature actually become very different. You become very, very determined, very strong. And tears come up. So I do to you. To have that quality is very good.
Especially because nowadays I chant the Heart Sutra as part of my daily routine.
Yes, I chant
the Heart Sutra.
In Mandarin or English?
Not Mandarin lah, Bratio. My Mandarin na zero lah, Bratio.
Oh, don't worry. You chant English. Yeah, you chant English first.
I chant the English.
Sutta English translation is very accurate.
Yeah.
Very accurate, that one.
So as I chant, like you say, when we're talking about emptiness itself, it's like I no longer try to understand it.
Yeah. No need.
I know that is when the time is right for me to understand, I will understand.
Yeah, and you will awaken to it.
Until then, I will just accept that I am at this stage of my cultivation where I still lack certain kind of conditions to be able to penetrate that type of so deep
Dhamma.
All of us will have to go through certain stages. So I just accept it, Brother.
And the other thing that I want to help you is you listen. When we talk about empty, the meaning is very deep. First one is not a permanent unchanging entity. That one by now I think you can understand. But the second aspect of emptiness, it doesn't mean nothingness, no. Doesn't mean everything is kang. No, there are things, life, existence, the five within the conditioned world, they exist. But empty nature of existence, that one you must understand. Empty nature of existence means all this may happen. Look very real to living beings. Like every moment, every instant, whatever manifests is like very real, exists before. Like since birth until now, you cannot deny you live that life, isn't it? You experience all those things. But the question is, are they real? Past is really gone, isn't it? They exist. At that time, very real. But by now, you look back, you can only recall to memory. That's like Wang Si Zi Men Hui Wei. I like that song when I was young. Primary school, I heard that song. I straight away, that impact very strong. Well, my nature understand that. Because you can only recall or recollect the past. It's already gone. No more a reality. That's why it's empty. Then the future yet to come. Finally, it's also empty. Why? Because they are all dependent originating, condition arising, causal phenomenon. When condition arise, it arise. When condition cease to be, it cease to be. Where is the reality? It's like the Diamond Sutra. Each year you wave on, everything is conditioned dhamma. And what is conditioned dhamma? They are dreamlike, illusion, like a shadow. Then they manifest, come and go, come and go. So the other example they give is like a bubble, pop, feeling gone, pop, feeling gone, feeling come and go, okay, like bubble gone. Then he said the phenomenal is like a morning dew or a lightning flash. A lightning flash is very fast. Zu lu yi lu dian. Yi lu dian is like a lightning flash. Zu lu is like a morning dew. Actually, it exists for a while when the condition is there. We have the temperature, cold, and now it forms the dew. But when the sun rises, the dew is gone. That's why everything within the condition world, they come and they go, they come and they go. Then a lot of phenomena are very fast, like our thought process, our whatever mental movement, activity. Especially our feelings, our perception, our whatever mental activity, they are very fast, like a lightning flash, they come and they go. So when you start to look at all this, you start to realize that there is no reality. All these are empty. There's an empty nature existence. Then the other understanding is like I always share. The past is already gone, not a reality. Future yet to come. Only the present moment is the only reality. Then moment to moment, life passes by. What are you doing? So we look at the moment. What is the moment? The moment you talk about it is already gone, dead and gone. So, moment to moment, life passes by. Split second is gone. Split second is gone. Arise, pass away. Arise, pass. There is only reality, you know? So, how real can life be if there is only reality? That's why it's empty nature existence. Existence got no meaning one. That's why no man. He know you. He know me. No mind of self, no mind of others, no mind of Dhamma, no mind of anything. The phenomenal world or whatever. No reality. That is within the unconditioned ultimate truth understanding. So when you penetrate all this, you realize the empty nature of existence, and that is emptiness. Realizing that is wonderful existence. Means the whole existence, although not real, but can be very wonderful. Where you have that understanding, you will not cling, you will not grasp, you will not get into trouble, and yet you get to experience all this beautiful possibility of life existing, cultivation, everything. That's why Zhen Kong Miao Yu. True emptiness, when you realize it, existence become wonderful, really, really wonderful. So that part, PG, you will understand it also. You will reflect on it, contemplate on it, listen to it again today. Then it will become different. Sadhu, this is for you.
Thank you, Bratu.
Yeah.
That was one of my vows, Bratu, for myself. Brother. I vow that I will, I vow to cultivate and understand the true Dharma, to realize the empty nature of existence.
Oh, sadhu, sadhu. Very good. So that is your additional miscellaneous law. Very good.
Yes,
that one can be incorporated because that one is for more advanced cultivator. Realize that every line you come, you have that, you become different again. You will progress very fast. Then you cannot cling, you cannot grasp. Everything is not what people think. That's why when I came and connect that time, after that I want to share, I cannot share. Because everything I understand is the opposite of what people used to like they don't learn Dhamma that way one. It's the opposite of what they learn. That's why I realized that I never do anything. I just keep quiet, silent. For 15 years, 89 to 2004, I didn't do anything at all. Unless got condition, people come and talk to me. But so far, that 15 years, nobody really had the affinity or understanding to talk to me the way I have understood it. No. Then later on, 2004, when I started the teaching and the sharing because of Yun Chan, then only I start to like develop the understanding of how living beings actually develop the affinity and other things. Then how those don't have condition on cannot come near one. Come near also disappear. I witnessed them, I saw them. That's why over the last 16 years, oh no, 18 years really, 2004 until now. So the last 18 years I saw, that's why I knew this Dhamma, the condition arising Dhamma, is exactly as per what the Buddha teach, dependent originating condition arising cause. Everything, whatever that arise, they are causes and conditions. When the causes and conditions established, things will move that direction, it will unfold in that way. That's why it cannot run on. You don't have the affinity, don't have the condition. You cannot receive means you cannot receive. But you have the affinity and the condition, somehow you will receive one. Yeah. You will come into contact one. So a lot of these are very beautiful.
So yeah, Bratil, you talk about this, it reminds me so much of the Sakyamuni Buddha.
Yeah.
Buddha. You know, it's like why he was not enlightened earlier.
Yes.
And then it's like he's waiting for the causes and conditions
correct,
for his,
like his, I explained, yeah.
Main disciples and
yeah,
all the
correct,
other disciples
yeah,
to be at there at the right time and at the right
yeah,
place.
Correct.
And, you know, so okay, it's like probably like Brazil is also waiting for this group of people to come
yeah,
together.
Yeah, because it all hasn't arise yet. Yeah.
Yeah.
It all hasn't arise yet.
So it's so beautiful.
Yeah. Also Sujata. That one that offer the milk rice on. Because she made that vow to offer before the Sammasambuddha become enlightened. Yeah. So have to wait 1-6 years. That's why people were asking me in the early days when I do this, Mr. Bhattivati, why the Buddha needs 6 years or go through all the miserable practices? Yen Wang Lu, the disciple 1 week only, Mongolana. Arahan, Sariputta 2 week arahan. I told them not like that because of the causes and conditions. And he has to actually also develop a lot of understanding of the wrong practice. That's why avoid the two extreme. All he learned from going for, and that 6 years has his reason. One of them, of course, is Sujata. That lady who want to offer the milk rice. Then, like you say, after that is the timing for the enlightenment so that the disciples who are ready, they can come. And the whole sasana, the sangha, they can manifest. And all these are like already very strongly conditioned from the past. Their nature are very strong. And those who took the vow to be his chief disciple, say, they are not overnight. They have developed them very long. Even the wife, Yasuhara, she made that vow. Do you know in the whole universe, there can be only one lady who will become his wife when he becomes Sammasambuddha, or before he becomes Sammasambuddha, that line. So you think so easy to qualify. So many beings with a great merit and wholesomeness fight. There is only one who succeeded. So it's not easy. You must have the affinity and all those things. And all this must fall into place. And even Rahula, the son, is also meant to be. And a lot of things, if you develop the cultivation, you will see all this yourself. You will come to understand all this, how living being manifests. and how you arise, and your timing, your family member, the people who have affinity with you, and those who don't have affinity. You can see them very clearly, and they manifest so clearly. Mm. So, Sadhu, PJ, very good condition. Huh? Anything
else? No more. I'll end my sharing here today.
Okay. Thank you.
Already.
Yeah.
Thank
you,
Gratio, and
Sadhu.
All calamitous. Good night.
Good night, Sadhu. Rejoice. Let us rejoice with a good sharing. Sadhu, Sadhu, Sadhu. Okay, now we will do the sharing on merits. Then after that, we will do the closing puja, and we will end the whole Zoom session. Akka satta ca bumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa cirang rakantu lokasasana etta watta camehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sapa sampati siddhiya Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyateyo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyateyo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyateyo. Devo wasatu kalena sasasampati heto cya. Pito bhavatu loko cha, raja bhavatu dhammiko. Imena punyang kamena, mame bala samagamo, satang samagamo hotu, yavan ivana patiya. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, you all can pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha and all the great beings. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.